You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
I hope you're ready for a powerful ministration from Sister Victoria. Please welcome our very own Sister Vic.
Shower down your rain upon me. Make me more and more like Jesus. I need your presence today. Cover my life with your dew. Rain down refreshing anew from above. I need your presence today. So please come and show me the way. Oh, shower down your rain upon me. I want to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Shower down your rain upon me. I want to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Shower down your presence upon me. Just make me more and more like Jesus Christ.
Wow. Such a powerful, powerful song from Sister Woo! B. Now it's time for the most important part of the service. The Bible tells us in Psalms 107:20 that God sends his word. He heals us and he delivers us. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some healing, for some deliverance, and I'm ready, most importantly, for the word of God. Please welcome right now our very own Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's go.
truth. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how the name is more to me. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
Hallelujah.
Bravo!
Amen.
Glory to God. I am as excited as you are to see me, but more importantly, I am excited to be serving the Lord with you. You know,
amen.
We can meet in various places, but you know, many times where we meet determines often what happens to us, you see? And so I pray that your rendezvous will be a good one, you see, rendezvous. There was a time that God was expecting to meet Adam and Eve in the garden, but they had changed their destination because somebody who spoke to them, and they could not be found. Says, Adam, where art thou? That was the beginning of trouble. And I pray that when God is expecting you in His house, the devil will not have tricked you into another place, which is often what happens. Because the Bible says in Psalm 65 verse 4, it says, blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes to approach unto him.
Amen.
That he may dwell in his courts. Bible says, this man, we will be satisfied with the goodness of his house, even of God's holy temple. Wow. I like this arrangement. You know, we'll be satisfied even in his God's holy temple. So I pray that, you know, I don't know where you met your wife or where you met your best friend. Some of you met if you meet your wife at a strip club.
That's it.
At a nightclub, you know what you're about to get? Because often you are attracted. What you're attracted to also is determined by what is inside of you. Okay? So be very careful what attracts you. And it's not everything that attracts you that you respond to.
Right?
So I want you to be attracted to good things.
Bible says,
affected by good things. Always, always make an appearance just on Sunday morning, because that's what I used to do, but I've changed. You better change too. All right.
Amen.
So may the Lord find you where you need to be. Okay.
Amen.
God has a plan. They have plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, to give you a good destiny. May that be the portion. He's zealously affected in good things all the time, not only when I'm present with you, not only when it's time to come to church. Last Sunday, we talked about the fact that when you come to a service, make it as close as possible to the original way that we used to have services before COVID struck, okay? Because what the devil is trying to do is trying to separate our company, separate us from each other. But what you need to do is actually try to get together. You know, try to get together. It's too hot. Try to get together so that as close as possible to the service. So, for example, you are in here, you are behind, you see everybody, but nobody sees you. You see, I think you want to see everybody, but you don't want anybody to see you. Well, the other people who want to see you, they miss you. Haven't you missed our church members?
I've missed you.
Yeah. All right, so please, much as you would like to see me, I miss you too. Please let me see your face. I see you, Prudential, your smile, giving me encouragement already. So let me see the other people that I can see and mention your name, and those who are hiding too. You know, I see you, Brendan. I see you, Nkasa. Brother Michael, there you go. The Samos are there. I see, oh my goodness. Uncle George, I'm so excited. Gina, Kathleen. Oh, Cuthbert is also there. The Chukus. The Chuku families are wonderful. I see that Robert is hiding. You know, Emmanuel is hiding. Ali is hiding. Cheryl went into hiding. I mean, I don't know why y'all are hiding. Barry just went into hiding. So did Barbara. Imani did. Joyce is in hiding. I mean, Renee is in hiding. I don't know. Francis is in hiding. Please. William, we also want to see you. Anyway, but you know, when God came and said, Adam, where art thou? What did Adam and Eve say? He said, Lord, we heard your voice and we hid ourselves. When you hear the voice of the Lord and you hide yourself, you are behaving like our old Adam, old nature. No, don't do that. Okay? Jesus yes, Christ, yes. He presented himself even when it meant death. He said, here I am, Lord, use me, send me. So ladies and gentlemen, come on. It doesn't take much time, but God will bless you. Today, we want to come into, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We pray, thanking you for your mercy and your grace, for the gift of life and the grace to live it. We ask this day that your touch of blessing will be upon us. Your grace will abound in our lives. Lord, you will multiply favor unto us, that your anointing will be with us. Your Holy Spirit will make touch us and make a difference. Thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. I want us to please turn my computer off. It's giving us some noise here. Well, before I go on to last week, talked about the anointing of your own company. The anointing of your own company. All right. Last week we learned that there's something called your own company. Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that when the disciples were persecuted, they went to their own company, and there the company prayed with them and they comforted them. They gave them a place to be. They gave them food to eat, and they laid hands on, they joined in prayer with them. The whole place shook, and the presence of God came, and God addressed all the persecution and the threats, you know. So we learned that it's important to have your own company and to belong. We learn from Psalm 68 and verse 6 that the Lord puts the solitary into families. Can QFC sound be turned off? Be muted, please. Thank you. Man. The Lord puts the solitary into families. You see that? And he brings out those who are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in dry land. Okay? So God wants to be joined. There are certain bonds that only break with company. They only break. Iron sharp iron. The Bible says in some, I believe in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, two are better than one, for they have a greater reward for their labor. And if one falls, the other will lift him up. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to lift up one another.
Amen.
Okay? To lift up one another, to sharpen one another, to encourage one another. This is your company. This is the church God has given you. When you have trouble, where do you go? I remember this week, somebody called me and told me, hey, you know, I have some sickness. I have this issue. We prayed with the person. We talked with the person. Somebody who was actually in need of something. Somebody was in need of a car. We said, look, there's this man who organizes cars. Go to this person. It solved the problem. Somebody had a need for babysitter. We said, hey, talk to this person. Talk to that person. Somebody had, you know, if you haven't had a problem, you would never know what company is. Yeah. Bible says that we should, you know, rejoice with them that do rejoice and mourn with them that mourn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I mean, one of my pastors used to say something. He says that joy shared is double joy and sorrow shared is half sorrow. I remember when I got my exam results after high school and I've gotten some nice results that was got me admission and acceptance into medical school. And when I went to my high school and they released the results for me, I ran. I mean, as I was going, I was just looking for somebody to hug me. It wasn't COVID era. And I remember running to my own home when I saw my mother. My mother was just skinning some fish. And I told mommy, I made it to medical school. These are my grades. She dropped everything and jumped almost out of her clothes. Hugged me, gave me a big hug. My brothers and sisters came. I felt so good. The feeling I had when I got my results is nothing compared to the feeling I had when the people rejoiced with me. That's why you have your weddings in the church, so that we can rejoice with you. Yeah. That's why you have your baby dedication in your own company. You don't go and have it in some other place. That is why you also have issues. You need counseling. You come, you call. That's why we visit you. That's why we talk to you. That's why even this corona, this Saturday coming, we are having a fellowship. We will call it two names. We'll call it two names, okay? We will number one, call it musket. Musket fellowship. It means that the mask is supposed to depress us. No, it's exciting us. We'll have our mask. We will have sanitizers, yet we'll come and we'll have games and we'll have food. Hallelujah. Wow.
Amen. And then
we also call it Hallelujah fellowship. Because Halloween is around the corner, but we were going to not have Halloween, but Hallelujah. Somebody say Hallelujah fellowship.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to have a Hallelujah fellowship for just 2 hours thereabout. Yeah. Come, make sure by 11 o'clock you are there. And by 1 o'clock, we will be winding down. Okay. Somebody told me we should start from 12 and go to 2. Well, we'll see. At the most 2 o'clock, we are done. We just want to keep the fellowship short and sweet and see one another. There, you cannot go behind the screen. I can see your face. I can touch your face. I can smile at your face. My own company, the anointing of your own company.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm sure
dancing stars. I'm sure there will be some grace dance. I'm sure there will be some ball. I'm sure there will be some card games, board games. I'm sure there will be some drinks. You know, sure there'll be some food. Bring your own food. Everybody's going to bring something. And if you don't have food, come. It's going to happen at the church premises. We have big land behind. And I'm believing God that it will not be cold. You know, we'll have our tents out there. The doors will be open. And we will not be inside. You know, for the shepherds, we have a meeting between 10 and 12. Okay? Very, very wide distancing thing. So, anointing of your own company. Hallelujah. And is this scriptural? Yes. Yes. And yes again. You know, the Bible says that these people, when they came, the Holy Spirit fell, when they came to their own company, and that's where the anointing came. There's an anointing that comes when there's a corporate group. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 19 that, you know, if any two shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of our Father, which is heaven. Amen. That means when two agree, come in agreement.
Amen.
The blessing. And then verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered in his name, there I am. Jesus says, there I am in the midst of them. So there's an anointing that comes when you come to your own, two in the name of the Lord. So that's your own company. I don't let anybody deceive you into actually falling from your own company, you know, falling, separating yourself from what God has blessed you with. If anybody does that, it will be Satan. Because when God tried to put mankind together as one, the person that separated them was Satan. He did it against He's doing it against the church. He did it and he's still doing it. May you never be separated from your own company.
Amen.
May this satisfy you. Amen. Even if there's something wrong, take it that we are under construction. What can you contribute to make it better so that together we can enjoy it? May this church be a blessing to you wherever you are.
Amen. In Jesus' mighty name.
So today we want to come to a follow-up of that same message. This time we want to go to the anointing of the upper room. Seven steps. You know, to the anointing in the upper room. This time, we move from the anointing in our own company to the anointing in the upper room. We are moving higher. I want us to open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. So don't project the scriptures before I say them because you'll be confused. From verse 1, Bible says, the former treatise O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Keep going. Verse 2, I'm going to show you something. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And look at the commandment he gave, all right? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So when Jesus Christ, you know, was taken, died, he appeared for 40 days, you know, until, keep going, I'm going to be reading, until he spoke to people, gave commandment, until he was finally taken. That's the account I'm giving you, all right? And being assembled from verse 4, please. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Watch this. He told them to go to the upper room, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Okay. He told them not to go anywhere, to just assemble. That for those of you, keep this scripture here. For those of you who are fond of missing assembly, God's promise comes when people assemble. Yes. The Bible says you don't have to open to that scripture, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It says that, you know, there are some that have, it's like, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner, the character of some is. There are some that God knows that some of us, we like that. When the church gathers, that's when we sleep. When we say we are coming for a call, that's when we say, no, I'm going to rather go for another meeting somewhere, okay? So don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsake.
Preach.
Rather do that the more as we see the day approaching. So Jesus Christ told them,
that's
go
right.
And assemble. Go and assemble. That's what again, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. Then go on. Verse 5. And for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Wow. The promise of the anointing. Anointing of the upper room is coming. But there are conditions which I'm going to share with you today. From here on, anything that Jesus Christ, when he was leaving, he promised the disciples to wait for it in the upper room. That promise will come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, he had promised them the anointing. And look at what the disciples asked. Verse 6. The disciples started asking questions. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And verse 8 is a famous verse. But you shall receive power. The anointing is coming on. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Keep going. Verse 9 and verse 10. But when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight into heaven. And then verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white apparel. And then what did they say in verse 11? And which also said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
And everybody must have an expectation. The same way he spoke to the disciples and he left. Bible says he's going to come in the same manner. Bible says with the trumpet, in the twinkling of an eye, and he will come through the heavens in his pomp. Angels will come with him. He will come to take us home. Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are living will be caught up with him, and so shall we be. Expect that. Live your life in preparation. This earth, this world is not our home. It's just, we're just passing through. We're sojourning. And our whole aim is to win many more people from the devil's fold into the Lord's fold so that heaven will be populated. There is a battle between the devil and the Lord. That's why Jesus came. So ladies and gentlemen, your job here, the Son of Man came from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. And he left. And he's anointing us. Before he left, he promised us the spirit of salvation, the spirit and the anointing to save souls, to make a difference, to live a supernatural life. He's going to come to us, the promise of the upper room. And he told them, go and wait. Whatever I was doing, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto everywhere you go. So that when I come, the same manner that I left, when I come, you will not be the only people. The disciples were 120 in the upper room. But today, I dare say to the glory of God, even our church is more than 120. Even our church is more than 200 by the grace of God. That means that the promise of the Holy Spirit, the disciples did something with the anointing. The question is, what are you doing with the anointing? In fact, the first question is, do you have the anointing? The first question is, have you cherished the anointing? Do you desire the anointing? Do you even know? Acts chapter 19, Paul asked the people, have you been received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we don't even know whether there was any Holy Spirit. Yes. And the Christians of today, we are just like that. Anointing is not preached. Anointing is not cherished. The power of God is not cherished. The Holy Ghost is not embraced and admired in the house of the Lord. How will you feel if you entered your home and they did not want to see your shadow? They did not want to hear your voice. They did not want to feel, experience your smell. Anything that was associated, your spirit is essentially your life. They did not want your life. They wanted you dead in that place. And in most places, the Holy Spirit has been essentially killed, quenched, dismissed. We are now into just literally just natural things, carnal things. We are not interested in anointing. The Bible says that when the Holy Ghost is come, you will receive power. Christians have become powerless. We are afraid. When you come and you see eggs in front of your door, you may sell that house. You may sell that house that has been witch hunted. It's been enchanted. It's an enchanted home. You suddenly put it on the market. And somebody would think that, oh, because God has blessed you, you want a new house. But you're afraid because there is no power. Okay, the power of the Holy Ghost comes again to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm talking about the anointing that initiates everything about a Christian. The anointing that made Peter from a fearsome, fearful person into an anointed and powerful and speaker. That anointing is the anointing of the upper room. Let's enter into that anointing. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. The Bible says over there, and when the day of Pentecost, you know, Jesus had promised them. Now the fulfillment of the promise is coming. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then what happened? Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to talk about the anointing of the upper room. They were in the upper room. What did they do? What were the seven steps that they managed to accomplish or to have? They had steps. They went through seven steps that gave them the anointing, that gave them the boldness, that gave them the power, that gives them to look like Jesus Christ supernaturally. That gave them favor, that gave them heavenly support, God gave them angelic assistance. What is it that we should do to get that anointing? Number one, I'm talking about the anointing in the upper room, the anointing in the upper room. Step number one, okay? Step number one, follow the Lord faithfully for several years. Step number one, follow the Lord faithfully for several years. Not just for 1 year, not just for 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, what is happening is that this time Christianity has become like you're going to McDonald's. When you go, you don't want to sit down. You want a drive-through. You want a quick fix. You want a quickie. There are no quickies in Christianity. There are no drive-throughs in Christianity. The price is the same. You have to pay the price. The price is to be faithfully consistent in what you do. If it is prayer that you pray, don't stop. Don't just pray one day. You got your breakthrough, like our brother said. We got a breakthrough. We said we'll sow a seed. And before we realized, everything that we said had come. So do you stop? No. You follow the Lord. You continue. You continue. Many of us are fond of being, today we are up, tomorrow we are down. Today we are spiritual, tomorrow we are carnal. Today we are with the Lord, tomorrow we are the devils. That does not carry.
Mercy.
No, follow the day, the disciples followed the Lord faithfully for several years. In choosing even a replacement for Judas, when Judas actually killed himself after betraying Jesus. They needed a replacement. The apostles specified who qualifies to join in such a blessing of the anointing of the upper room. And listen to what they said. They said in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, and I read from the New American Standard, it says, therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all these years, all this while, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.
Amen.
Do you know what that means? They said, yes, somebody needed to participate in the power, the anointing, the grace, the blessedness of being with Christ. And they did not just choose a one-day-old Christian.
No.
Chose somebody who had accompanied them for years.
That's right.
The question I want to ask you is that, how long have you been with Christ? How long do you intend to stay? How consistent? How faithful are you? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 20, he said, the faithful man shall abound with blessings.
Amen.
Blessings. Even in our jobs, a faithful man, the people that stay there for a long time, they are the ones who get promoted. They are the ones who get pay raise. They are the ones who get long service awards. They are the ones, the longer you stay, the bigger your 401k. The longer you stay, the bigger their benefits. But Christianity, we want all the benefits without investing even time. Do you know, you want to preach like me, Pastor, wow, but you don't want to spend time in prayer. You don't want to follow the Lord in obedience. You don't want to keep going to church. Yo, some of us, today they are with this church, tomorrow they are no longer there. Look, if you plant put a plant in a place and the plant decides not to stay, the plant will wither. There will be no power. There will be no succulence. It won't grow. Nothing. It will not stabilize. Ladies and gentlemen, God is looking for faithfulness. John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus Christ put it clearly. He said, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, and he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. In John 8, 31, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye John 8, 31, you see that? He said, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying that he promised the disciples the promise of the upper room is there to continue. He said, go and stay there. Continue faithfully. You've been with me. You are the ones who deserve the blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Let me tell you, there is a difference between a girlfriend and a wife.
For sure.
There's a difference. One is a quick fix. The other one is somebody who's lived, has committed, has decided to stay, has put a ring on, has changed her name, has identified with the man and said, from today, your name shall be my name. I'm not going to be ashamed to be called you. For better, for worse, in sickness and in... Joseph is trying to... And somebody admit Joseph from the waiting room. It's disturbing me. Three people are waiting.
Admitted.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you is that a woman says, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, pregnancies or no pregnancies, I am married to you, I'm committed. That is the reason why, for example, my salary can come, I can decide that I don't know what it is. I can trust my wife to, okay, you know, put it in the bank. I don't know how much it is. That is trust. I can trust with the power, the financial power. I can trust with my car. I can trust with my children. I can entrust with my genes. I can entrust with my family. Everything that there is. That's called spiritual power. Jesus Christ wants to entrust you with the gift of the Spirit, entrust you with the anointing, entrust you with gift of the Spirit. But you must be faithful. The disciples stayed on for a while. Look at all the people in the church. The people that have become pastors. You see Pastor Daniel, he's a pastor. But when he came to the church, he didn't even know how to go to a church. As a matter of fact, I mean, you know, his life was not the best. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want him at that time to be near you in your car because anything can get missing or something. Or your daughter, you know. But today, we can entrust him with the church keys. We can entrust him with the church ladies. I can entrust him with our wives, teach them. And what has happened, what has brought the transformation is the anointing of the upper room that is born of longevity.
He was one of the
first male. The first male in the church. First male. Yeah. The first male. First usher. First instrument packing. First in a lot of things. First pastor. Beyond it, whatever.
Longevity.
How long have you been in this church? Many of us, we've been in this church for a few, but the next thing we find you're looking for, don't be a girlfriend, don't be a chick, be a wife. God, Bible says that he's considering us maritally. He's married to the church. He calls the church his bride. You are the church. God wants marriage, not a quick fix, not a drive-through, not a girlfriend. Not a prostitute, definitely not.
Amen.
A prostitute, somebody, today he's sleeping with this church, tomorrow he's sleeping with the other church, today he's with this woman, tomorrow he's with the other woman. That is not you. The anointing of the upper room is for people that stay long in the thick and in the thin. The church can sometimes have issues. But why don't you help us to build rather than criticize and leave? Hallelujah. So be married.
Amen.
God will bless you. God is looking for the anointing of the upper room for you. But that anointing comes through faithfulness till the very end, in the thick and in the thin, in the difficult situations. When we need people to help, you are there. When we need people to enjoy, you are there. When we are having Saturday, we are coming for Hallelujah Fellowship. Mask on Hallelujah Fellowship. You are there. When it is time for flow service too, you are there. When it's time for somebody who's lost a loved one, we are contributing to support the person, you give your contribution. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. The anointing of the upper room. These disciples stuck with Jesus. Even when Jesus was dying and going, they said, oh man, they stayed. Amen. May you stay. I don't know how long you intend to be in this church, but as far as I'm concerned, you are here forever in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me tell you somebody's testimony one day. That somebody who got anointed was one of our main pastors. One day, he was walking with Bishop, and then he tripped on a step in front of the church. He was almost falling. He didn't fall. You know, the next time Bishop realized this man had gone to bring concrete and his workers from his office, they were fixing the stairs. They did everything anew. Bishop called the man. He said, why did you do this? And he asked Bishop, you remember the last time I was walking with you, how I tripped? Because there was a certain crooked, the stairs were not even. I decided to bring my people to make the whole thing nice. And you know what he said? Because he said, because I am here to stay for life. That's I don't want to say that I die when they finish the service and they are carrying my coffin to the grave. I don't want them to fall down and then I run, I'm poured out of my casket. It will be a different thing. I don't want my daughters, when they are having their wedding and I'm giving them away, and as the father, I'm bringing my daughter, then I trip and I fall. What a disgrace. I don't want any of our pastors or church members to fall. But the thing that struck me was that the day that I die and they are carrying me in my casket, I don't want the bearers, poor bearers, to fall. That told me something. He says, I'm here to stay. The anointing of the upper room is coming to you. The anointing that transformed Peter into who he was, gave him fame, gave him a favor, will come upon you because of your faithfulness. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus.
Amen.
Number two, the anointing of the upper room, when you are equipped with power to transform you, to speak differently, to become another man, it comes when you are available to experience everything God has for you with the church. Everything God has for you. Not some. Some of us are very choosy, very picky when it comes to the church. Oh, we like to come for the Sunday service, but we will never come for our center meetings. Oh, we like to come when we are doing hallelujah fellowship and mask on play. But when it comes to flow meetings, we are not there. We like to be there when it is the pastors are visiting us. But when it is time for us to be sent to do some work, outreaches, we will not be there. We like to join it when we are invited to service, but we will never invite anybody for a service ever. The reason for the church growth will never be attributed to us. Why do you pick and choose? Enjoy every experience. Enjoy every experience. The people who received
something,
they were those who had actually seen the Lord rise. For 40 days, some of the people had amazing experiences, meeting and even saw the resurrected Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. Definitely the experience of seeing the resurrected Christ would have an impact on their spiritual lives. I'm just looking at, you know, our brother Vincent, as he was giving his testimony with his wife. I just asked myself, what would have happened if he was not there at the flow service to experience that challenge? When Bishop said, write everything that you need and put the Lord to a challenge. You didn't have that experience. And sometimes because of that, you say the Lord is not real. You say the church is not powerful. You say there's nothing about flow. Because some of you, even when you come for the flow prayer meeting, you have come to the place, but you have dismissed yourself from the experience. Because you just turned your WhatsApp on or Facebook on and you slept. So you missed the actually experience. Can you imagine the people that came, they just went to sleep. When Jesus arose, they would not have experienced it. Can you imagine when they told them to go to the upper room? While the day of Pentecost, somebody has said, look, I'm tired. I'm not going to be at this meeting. They would never have experienced the anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, I call upon you that be a part of every experience that God gives us here.
Amen.
Amen.
Be there Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, 6:30, whichever your word center is meeting, be there. Be there for the flow prayer meeting at 10:30 on Mondays and Thursdays. And when you are there, be there for real, not just your phone being there. Come on now. Somebody told me, I always call you, you don't mind. I said, no, you don't call me. You call my phone. It's a difference. The people that really want to reach me, they call and they don't get me. They call me and they always get me. They always get me. Because they want me, not my phone. Don't just want the flow prayer. Want the God of the flow prayer. Want the experience of the flow prayer. want the participation, desire. That is what brings the difference. That's what brings the difference. Yeah. Listen, there were 10 virgins. Five of them were wise, five were foolish. How? Because they didn't have the experience. They didn't carry enough light. They did not buy enough oil. They were not willing to pay the price for the full experience. Yet they wanted to share the benefits of the anointing with their friend. The friend said, no, this is not transferable. Some experiences are not transferable. When Thomas was not there, when Jesus appeared, he doubted. Many of the doubts that come to us, many of our weak Christianity is because of the fact that we are not willing to invest in all the experiences. Some of us will come to the church service at the latter end, just when the preaching is going on. So you don't experience the worship. You don't experience the song ministration. You don't experience the answers. You don't even experience the offering time.
The testimonies.
The testimonies. How? How? Some of us do come for the praise and worship, and then, oh, I don't like long talk, so I'm not going to. You shut off when they're preaching. Have the full experience, and God will bless you. The Bible says in Acts 1 and verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Well, I believe that you will never be the same. Experience everything. For example, we have Bible challenge. We are studying the book of Leviticus. It's so beautiful. How to make sacrifices to the Lord. By the way, all of you who are doing Leviticus, don't use King James. You will be lost. Use New Living Translation.
Thank you, Rev. Thank you, Rev.
Thank you, Rev.
Thank you very much, Rev, for saving us.
Now, if you go to King James, you would say the Bible is a sleeping tablet. You don't want to enjoy the experience. Some of us, even the platforms, you don't read the things that are there. How can it be? How can you have the full anointing of the upper room? You won't participate in. And some of you, you come to the church, you won't even meet the pastor. The person who invited you, if that person who invited you is not responsible enough to bring you, my brother, my sister, if you've never been able to meet any pastor, you are being given the short end of the stick. Today, I release you. If the person who invited you is not going to bring you, just call my number. Write it down, 901-734-4446. Call me. I will pick. If I don't pick, I'll call you back. Or send a text. It is me. Keep your promise, because Jesus Christ promised the upper room anointing and he kept it. I will respond.
Amen. Okay.
That's my number right there, down there. 901-734-4446. I pick up phone calls from patients. Why would I not pick a phone call from you? Call my wife as well. Eh? What is her phone number? 646-256-8030. You were testing me. You thought I didn't know. Shame on you. Again, 646-256-8030. But make sure you don't call at a time that the only exception is when he's having a meeting with me. Hallelujah. So step number three. So the first step is be faithful. Be faithful, be consistent. And those of you, please, husbands and wives, and when you have married somebody, be faithful to the end. Marriage is a roller coaster. Marriage has trouble. Don't run away from the trouble. Stay. Mm-hmm. That's what faithfulness is. Do you know the kind of trouble my wife has given me that I'm still in the marriage? Me, I don't give any trouble. You know that. You know, men don't give trouble. It's only the ladies who do that. But I'm still on. I'm still staying on. Do you know how much trouble I've given my wife that she's still on? Oh, that was a slip of time. Do you know how much trouble I've received from church members that I'm still preaching? Do you know how much trouble some of the church members have had from me that they are still in the church? No wonder they are blessed.
Forgive us.
Yes. Why? Actually, I'm giving you, you're giving me trouble. Why shouldn't I give you trouble?
No, why not?
Hallelujah.
Forgive us.
All of us. Look, you watch it. People are going to be anointed because of this message.
Amen.
Amen. I receive it.
Number one, to be faithful to the end, to have a marital commitment to God's church and kingdom. Number two, to be a part of all experiences. You see, people who are not in on any platform, you're going to be on a platform.
Amen.
People who are not with the Wasenta will come. Bible challenge, they will respond.
Mm-hmm.
Every experience that God has for this church will be your portion in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Number three, decide not to follow politics in the church. Decide not to follow politics. Politics is associated with, the acquisition of power, earthly power, influence on people, talking to people. Do you like me? Is my matter right? Who do you belong? The church in Corinth, there were factions and factions like that, divided. I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Timothy, I'm for this. Oh, I'm for Peter, Cephas. Paul said, this is carnality. Jesus Christ, Bible says that these people, you know, even the disciples, they followed politics. They were thinking of kingdom, earthly kingdom. Watch this. In verse 6, in verse 4. Let's read from verse 4 to verse 8. Acts chapter 1, from verse 4 to verse 8. You'll be surprised what goes on in the church. That Jesus Christ, Bible says, and being assembled together nicely with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you heard of me. Then, verse 5, look at what they started. He's talking to them about anointing. He's talking to them about the kingdom. Then they switch. Then he tells them, John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Can you believe the next question they asked? When they therefore were come together, they asked Jesus, saying, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Jesus is talking about heavenly things. Then Jesus answered and said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power, own power. Then verse 8. But he directed their mind again. But you shall receive
power
after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So that you'll be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if you are in the church, seek what heaven brings. When you get to the office, you seek what the earth brings. I'll say it again. If you are with Christ, seek what is of Christ. Seek eternity. Seek spiritual things. Seek the things from on high. The disciples were just used to the kingdom of the earth. So they were asking, will you restore politics, power, earthly power? Listen, let me tell you, Jesus gives both heavenly and earthly power. What he was trying to tell them was that focus on spiritual things and the other things will be added. Like Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
And all these things you are asking will come upon you, will be yours.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul said, I come seeking nothing else but the Christ. Okay? In church, when you come, get your notebook. Get your pen. Get a recorder. Get your heart open for the anointing. Get spiritual things to enter you. That is how to benefit from the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ corrected them. And how? Jesus was redirecting them to the anointing of the upper room. He was telling them, if you think so low, you will not get the anointing of the upper room. Yeah. For example, when I'm giving my tithes, I don't look at, who is going to spend it. I look at the God that I'm giving. I always focus on heaven. When I'm praying, I am not looking for who will see that I have the longest prayer. I'm looking at God who sees in secret, who rewards me, will reward me in the open. Yes. When I give somebody something to somebody, I'm not looking for a thank you. When they say thank you, I say, say God bless you. Say God bless you. Let's be eternity minded, not politics of this earth, not earthly. Get to the office and see the Lord lead you into a higher position. Wow. But don't seek politics. Why didn't they make me a shepherd? Why didn't they give me this power? Why didn't they recognize me? Why are they not using my talent? Why did they call this person and not me? Those rancorous statements, those cantankerous effects, they never help. They set the church to become a carnal church. Now we start worrying about who is for who. What did I say wrong? Let's forgive one another. Let love prevail in the church. Let's pray to
mountain.
Let's love word. Let's love worship. Let's love God. Let's keep our mind on the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and see the rest of the things come. Many are in the church, but our eyes are on the earth. That's what the devil did. God had given Adam and Eve a higher level of anointing. Eat. You don't even need to work. You don't need to do anything. I will provide everything for you.
Oh.
And Satan came and told him, no, change from looking up to God. Look on the fruit. Look on the fruit. Meanwhile, everything had been given. The one thing that they said, don't take. The one thing that is going on wrong in the church is what your focus is on. The one offense is what is making you not come to church the following week. The one bad, you know, you saw somebody, the person walked by you. So what? Jesus did not walk past you. Jesus will never, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yes. Don't dwell on politics. Who likes me? Who doesn't like me? What power do I have? Which position do I hold? Who is preaching today? Who is not? Forget about all that. He didn't touch me. He didn't carry my baby. So what? Jesus will carry you. Not only your baby, but you.
Man.
Yeah, that's what leads to the anointing in the upper room. So he moved their mind from earthly. He said, focus. That is why the church, many people, they want help. What can you do for me? Rather than praying, rather than reading the Bible, rather than worshiping for the presence of God. When was the last time you knelt down for 1 hour to seek the face of the Lord? That is what brings the anointing on the upper room. The next one, the next step to the anointing on the upper room, be humble, be a humble part of the group which God has called you into. Be a humble part. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, Bible says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart. They should not separate themselves. They should be a part of what was going on. You know, let me tell you something. I don't know which church you came from or whether you were not in any church. Something must have caused you to move from your church. Some of you were not in any church. Some of you were bound from church to church to church. But Jesus Christ is telling us, he told them, when you go, stay with them in one accord in the same place. I will anoint you in that very place. Don't be a separatist. Listen, many things will cause you to move away from the garden God has given you. It's never going to be God who's separating you. It's going to be the devil. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, but the devil separated them from God. Yeah. There's a verse in Jude, verse 19. Jude 19, Jude chapter 1, verse 19, if you can put it. He says that these be they who separate themselves. Sensual, earthly. Not having the spirit.
Not having the spirit.
These are they who separate themselves. Sensual. Having not the spirit. The Bible says when you separate yourself, you think about just your own feeling, you will never have the anointing. You will never have the anointing of the upper room. You will not have the spirit. Not having the spirit.
Yeah.
These are they who separate themselves. You know what? There is no church that is going to be perfect. Anytime you find a perfect church, make sure you don't join it. Why? Because that day you join it, the church will change and become imperfect because you are not perfect. I'll say it again. Whatever problem that moved you from the church you were in, here, stay. Because here too, you found problems. One person who left the church, he said that the church members did not pick him up one day. And he said he's going to another church. Went to Mississippi Believer Church. And when he was there, one day we were there, after about 7 months, he called us, we should come for him again. I said, why? He said, we don't pick up people, we don't talk to people. He said, oh, well, it's true. They picked me up. But since I went there, the pastor has spoken to me once. But when I was here, I could call you any day. I said, look at you. Look at you. You find problems anyway. So I called the person. I said, listen, we are going to accept you back. But I want to warn you. You will find another problem with me or with somebody else. Would you stay if that problem comes? Oh, no, no problem at all. Within 3 months, he was back. Today, he's found another church. I don't know how long he will stay. Every church will be like that. That if you do that, you will never be anointed. The Bible says when you are sensual means you are too sensitive. You are too fleshly. It's everything about me. Sensual also means selfish. What I feel this way. I feel this. What about what others feel that they are not telling you? What about the others that are accommodating your behavior? You snored the last time, but I didn't mention your name. I could see on your name that the snoring was coming from your skin. You disturbed the service, but I said, let's move on. Just mute him and let's move on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how we get anointed. I've been in this church since I got born again. Since 1991, by the grace of God, I say to the glory of God. And I have no intention of leaving. One day I got angry and I said, I'm leaving the church. Let me tell you my story. I was so angry. My wife also was facing me for that decision. And I said, what? My wife is also against me. And it was all about me, sensual, sensitive, because a pastor has spoken to me in a way that I didn't want. Proud. But I went to sleep in tears. In the morning, I woke up and I knelt down. I said, I'm reporting the pastor and my wife to God. I have a good relationship with God. I will tell them. I'll tell God about you guys. Immediately, I knelt down. The Holy Spirit came upon me strongly and tapped on my shoulder and asked me one question. I will never, never forget. That is the anointing. That is the question that when I resolved, I became a pastor for you. He asked me, as you are leaving the church, do you want to be right or you want to be blessed? That's what the Holy Spirit asked me. He said, people who are very sensitive never get the blessing. They are right. They are so right, so convinced themselves that they are right. They are so right that they don't mind destroying themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of us in our marriages, we have arguments and we have points against the other person. We are so convinced that they are wrong and we are right. And it's destroying our marriage and we don't care. We are at our workplace. Somebody offended us. We are right. We are so right that we are losing our job, losing our home, losing our car note. We don't even think about it. We still are leaving. Do you want to be right or you want to be blessed? That is the anointing, the kind of mindset that gets the blessing of the upper room. Until you decide that no matter what, the blessing is far more important than being right about my views, about the wrong things I think about the church, about the preaching, about the people. Mm-hmm. Until I get to that point, okay, I will never mature into the anointing of the upper room. But you will never be like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will equip you in the upper room. You watch it. Give yourself a year, two, enduring everything that will come to you and see the levels God will take you. I see the church going forward. I see people who don't separate themselves, who are not sensual. Yeah. Therefore, they have the anointing. And by the way, the day the Spirit leaves you, you die. Everything you are and you will be is because of the kind of Spirit God gives you. He will give you gifts of the Spirit. He will give you fruit of the Spirit. He will give you the anointing of the Spirit. He will give you favor and he will make you shine. Bible says, arise, shine, for thy light is come.
Wow.
The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Where do you think that glory rises from? In the upper room, the glory was the fire of the Holy Spirit. The glory of the Lord is risen. You will arise. You will shine, for your light is come. The Holy Spirit is also called the light. The glory of God. The Holy Spirit is also called the Shekinah glory of God. As you are walking, By the time they left the upper room, they did not see, but they were carrying supernatural power. You may not see, but as you stick with it, you are going to walk into the world with supernatural power. One day I was walking, you know, doing patient care. A nurse pulled me aside and said, "Doctor?" I said, "Yes." "Is there a patient who is sick?" He said, "No. I've been wanting to tell you this thing." He told me something. She knows me nowhere. She said, "You know, do you know that you carry a bigger personality than you are?" I said, "What are you talking about?" This is an unbeliever. But I'd experienced that there's something unique about this black boy. That shall be your story. You carry a bigger personality than you are. Your boss will know it. Your family will know it. Your siblings, your classmates will know that you are unique. It's because of the anointing of the upper room. As you are faith, as you are experiencing all the experiences, as you are humble enough to overlook and overcome the offenses and to stay put, see what the Lord will do. Number five, follow the wisdom and the direction of the Lord. Acts 1:4, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Listen, the people that walk in obedience, they get anointed. May the Bible says that, John 6:63, it is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you can carry the spirit with the word, it means you have received the word. You can't receive the words and the commandments of the Bible. You can never be anointed. It's true. People who get anointed are people who obey the word. As you are in this church, don't just come for nice message, because my messages are very nice, you know. I preach well by the grace of God. Yes. I mean, I can preach myself happy. As I'm preaching me and myself, I want to listen to the message because it's so good. By the grace of God. But no, don't let the message deceive you. Let the scriptures be the reason why. Don't let the jokes be the thing you extract. Write down the scriptures and obey them. When the Bible says, seek first the kingdom, just decide to do it. When the Bible says that don't be too sensitive or sensual, don't be a separatist so that you catch the anointing. Do exactly that. You will be anointed because the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. The people who grab at the word, who run with the word, you are running with the anointing. You are obeying the conditions that fulfill you, that set you up for the anointing of the upper room. I see 70 people being anointed straight right as I speak. Amen. 70 people. You are one of them, one of those 70 who's been anointed with the anointing of the upper room. Your glory, the cloven tongues of fire will shine and stay and make you a different person, give you a different level of anointing, give you a different perspective on life. The anointing of the upper room comes to you now. Jesus includes you in his work, in his blessing, in the angelic visitations and heavenly support. May that be you. May the anointing of the upper room come to you. May you come with one accord and that anointing. Bible says how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. For it's like the oil that ran down from the head of Aaron, ran down the beard to the garments. For there in that atmosphere, the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. May you be the one who receives the commanded blessing of Psalm 133. May God command a blessing upon your life, the blessing of the upper room, the blessing of his spirit, the blessing of transformation, the blessing of favor, the blessing of his love, the blessing of deliverance from every conspiracy, the blessing of his protection and preservation, the blessing of eternal life, the blessing of salvation, the blessing of healing, the blessing of preservation from COVID, the blessing of never backsliding. May that rest upon you. The blessing of a stable Christian life, the blessing of spiritual growth, the blessing of establishment in Christ, the blessing of angelic assistance.
Amen.
Oil of gladness comes upon you now.
Come
today. When the Lord is looking for people to deposit his spirit of the upper room, may he find you. May you never be elusive. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
and all shall say, Amen.
Amen.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.